Jesus is my high tower, my light in the dark hour. Without him, I could not see. He is closer than a brother. Above him, there's no other. Without him, what a friend is he. And he is the rock upon which I stand, and he's a present help in time of need. When this whole world has left me all alone, oh, I can feel him walking right by. And he promised that he would go with me always, even till the end. And just as long as this world stands, he promised he would hold my hand, and that I would never walk alone. And he said he would go the best friend in my life. And he is the rock upon which I stand, and he's a present help in time of need. When this whole world has left me all alone, oh, I can feel him walking right by.
Amen. You have your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 6. I appreciate you, church. I appreciate you, pastor. And I sort of appreciate you letting me stay. That beats home, right? Driving back home right there. Somebody say amen. But it's a joy. Appreciate y'all letting me use the room and stay with Brother Shu several times down there. And we've had some good times down there in that fellowship hall. And appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Appreciate your friendship here tonight. Church, you mean a lot to me, and I just want to mind the Lord and desire to be a help and a blessing to you, and I believe the Word of God will. I've had this message on my heart all week, and I promise I'll try my best to be brief and just you listen fast, I'll preach fast, and we'll go get us something to eat. Somebody say amen. But you find your place in Proverbs chapter 6. Let's stand if you're able to do so in honor of the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 6, we'll pick up reading in verse number 9. The Bible asks two questions here in verse number 9, two very important questions. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? And the Bible answers this question in verse number 10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we love you. God, we're grateful for the privilege to come back in your house and try to make much of you, Lord. I pray, God, you'd cleanse me any mistake in my life. God, I ask for your presence. I ask for your touch like never before. God, we know the end times are drawing nigh, God, And we're closer now than we've ever been. Lord, my desire is just to be the best Christian that we possibly can be here in these last days. I pray you'd stir a fire in somebody's heart here tonight. God, would you encourage us, revive the saints, and God, help us to go on for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Of course, the Bible, we're preaching here tonight on a spiritual sluggard. And the Bible asks that question, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? That's not talking about necessarily physical sleep as much as spiritual sleep. That sluggard is a person that is habitually lazy, idle, or inactive. It's like they are a drone that doesn't have any control over their own selves. It's a careless, a thoughtless, a sleepy Christian. As I travel around, I can't help but notice, preacher, that most churches seem to be half asleep. And I've got to stop several times in my message and say, hello, are y'all still awake out there tonight? But I'm preaching tonight on this sluggard. Let's look here at what the Bible says. It asks, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? And when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? That arise is an important word. It means to leave a place of rest. It means to revive from the dead. It means to leave the grave, to begin to act. It means to be put in motion, to emerge from poverty, to ascend, to mount up or move to a higher place. It means to wake from a state of sin and stupidity and to repent of one's sin. I don't know about y'all, but I had to swallow this before I'm preaching it here tonight. I've been here myself, and it's a tough pill to swallow sometimes to awake from this place of stupidity and repent from our sins. When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep, O sluggard? I believe I can best answer this question. I believe I can sum up most Baptist answer with just a few words. The Lord help me tonight. I'd like to preach on, just give me 5 more minutes. Just give me 5 more minutes. There was a general, I was reading some history books, there was a general that served sometime before Christ, and he found one of his sentinels, one of his guards asleep when he was supposed to be watching. This general, he took out his sword and he thrust it through this sleeping guard. Most of his other guards and things like that, most of his servants, they become angry and said, how could you be so harsh? We don't understand how you could be so mean. And he replied with these words, I left him, but as I found him. I left him, but as I found him. You say here tonight, preacher, what is the big deal about sleep? Sleeping is to live thoughtlessly, sleeping away our happiness, to be dead, to rest in the grave for a time, or to be careless or inattentive or unconcerned. Most Christians, that is exactly where we are. And you say, how long are you going to stay in this place? How long are you going to sleep, preacher? Just give me 5 more minutes. You say, preacher, what's the big deal? I'm not doing anything wrong, but what are you doing right tonight? What are we doing right? I find most Christians are lazy, idle, or inattentive. We've been at the same place for a long time. You answer that question in your heart tonight. How long have you been here, sir? Or how long have you been here, ma'am? Most of us have been at the same place for far too long, going a long time without ever growing a step. Without going to that next level God would have us on and climbing higher and higher. Most of us are sleeping away this opportunity of grace. I wonder, as most of us have overslept at times, whatever it may be, for work or for church or something like that, we never realized how late it was. That's why we overslept. Many of us have woke up in a hurry and said, good gracious, why didn't somebody get me up? I had no idea how late it was. Church, do you realize today how late it really is? The church has no sense of urgency. We're sleeping away the opportunity of grace, taking our salvation for granted. We're hoping to reap where we have not sown and hoping to gather where we have not strawed. Lord, help me. I'd like to preach on that thought. Just give me 5 more minutes. The account of loafing practiced by the average Christian in spiritual things would ruin a concert pianist if he allowed himself to do the same thing in the field of music. The idle puttering around that we see in church circles would end the career of a big league pitcher in 1 week. No scientist would ever solve his problem if he took as little interest in it as the rank and file that Christians take in the art of being holy. The nation whose soldiers were as soft and undisciplined as the soldiers of the churches would be conquered by the first enemy that attacked it. Triumphs are not won by men in easy chairs. But success is costly tonight, church. If you want to be something for God, we can't sit on the pews and twiddle our thumbs and wait for something to be done. But success is costly tonight. A few things I'm going to mention. I promise I'm going to try to be brief. You stay with me. Sleep affects a few things, and I'd like to go through and mention three things. First of all, sleep affects our time. Sleep affects our time. You notice whenever you hit that snooze button in the morning and you say, I want just 5 more minutes, what you're subconsciously doing, and you don't even realize it, is you are reprioritizing your morning. You are saying, I want 5 more minutes of sleep here and 5 less minutes of time getting ready, of time spent doing my normal daily routines. We do without reading that morning. We do without praying that morning. We might skip breakfast or skip showers. Don't look at me like that. I smell some of you up here tonight. You was running a little bit late, wasn't you? But we start to reprioritize our morning and reprioritize and say, just give me 5 more minutes. But what happens? I know this all too well. 5 minutes turns into 15 minutes. Turns into 30 minutes, and our time turns into hours. It turns into days. It turns into weeks. It turns into months, and the months turn into years. And you look at our lives, at the opportunity wasted, and we've been complacent most of our lives. The sin of a sluggard is the abuse of a great blessing. You think about the farmer. If the farmer was not plowing and sowing, but instead sleeping his life away, how many would pay the prices here in America? His family would pay the price. Those counting on him would pay the price. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Can I say the only time that's wasted is time you spent serving yourself, and the only time spent not wasted is time spent serving the Lord. We think back to the young days and we say, my oh my, if only I could go back in time, the things that I would do differently. I catch myself saying that all the time. Boy, if I had that to do again. Boy, if I could just go back in time, I wouldn't have wasted so much time. I see so much opportunity, church, that's wasted in the day and age in which we live. I see so much potential on the church pews. So much God wants to do with each and every person. So much things God wants to work out in families. So much potential wasted. Just time slipped through our fingers. So oversleeping affects our time, but also it affects our temper. Some of you are going to have to say amen right there. I still currently live at home. I live at home with my mom and my dad and my sister. And on a Sunday morning when they don't seem to wake up at the time they were supposed to, you talk about a grumpy, hateful household. Y'all have to say amen right there. I've got a younger sister. I know what it's like. Oversleeping affects your temper. It leaves everybody flying around the house crazy. It leaves everybody grumpy. It leaves them fussing. It leaves them fighting. You want to wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Just oversleep a little bit longer. And we slept too long, church, and we found ourselves hateful. Most Christians, I find, just hateful, bitter spirits with inside them. And could it be because we've overslept? Because we've been just dilly-dallying around while we should be serving the Lord? But most Christians are just so hateful and irritable and spiteful, and we're fighting with somebody over here and fighting with somebody over there. That's not why we come to church, by the way. We come to church to glorify God for what He's done. Most Christians, hateful. That verse number 11, look with me. So shall thy poverty come as one
that travaileth. It mentions that poverty there. It means destitute of property. It means barrenness of sentiment. It means to be in want of convenient means of substance. That word want there, it doesn't mean like you and I want things, new guns or guitars or vehicles. It don't mean want like that, but that word want means to be in need. To want, to be in need. You say, well, preacher, we're God's children after all. How could God's child be in poverty? How could we be in poverty and be in want or need? Don't turn there with me, but you listen right carefully. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, it said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and they abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Can I tell you how you can be a barren Christian? Is to not have these things in your life. When we sleep away the opportunity of grace, and we're taking our salvation for granted, and we're just running Jesus, running His name through the mud, we are an unfruitful Christian. Find ourselves in barrenness. Find ourselves in desperate need. Can I tell you, people need God today. We need God today more than we ever have in our nation. So many people are in need. So many Christians, saved by the grace of God, are still yet in need. I reckon the most miserable person on the face of the earth is a person that's saved and out of the will of God. I've been more miserable as a saved man out of the will of God than I was as a lost man. Knowing what I had, knowing how close I've walked with God, and knowing that I've turned my back on Him and messed up and failed Him. Church, that's the most miserable I've ever been in my whole life. And you look at my attitude, just a hateful, bitter spirit at times because I had overslept. Church, how long have you been sleeping? How happy are you? Are you a miserable Christian? It affects our time, it affects our temper, and oversleeping, thirdly, and I close with this, affects our troubles. Oversleeping affects our troubles. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Most of the time we oversleep for 5 minutes, it turns into 30 or something like that. And we wake up and we're late and we're running around trying to get ready. And we get in our car and we squall tires getting out of the driveway. We about hit everybody else's vehicle in the driveway. About hit trees, mailboxes, whatever it may be. And we go flying down the road at breakneck speeds. Do you know that this puts you in a lot more risk of an accident? And you are a lot higher risk for getting a ticket. I didn't say every time you're running late you're going to crash, or every time you're running late that you're going to get a speeding ticket, but it puts you at a lot higher risk. You say, preacher, what does all this mean? I'm saying when you spend time oversleeping, you bring in a lot of unwanted dangers. You bring in a lot of troubles on yourself, sir, that you never wanted in your life. When we spend all this time oversleeping, we invite all these unwanted dangers in. That verse number 11, your poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Mentions the dangers there of oversleeping. You think about the time that God's tried to warn you and God's tried to sound the alarm. He's gave me a warning every time, church, before judgment's ever come in my life, before I've ever been chastised or whooped by God. He's brought a warning before He's ever done any of that. And God has tried to warn us. You can't blame anybody but yourself. Heard folks wake up before and say, why didn't anybody wake me up? Why didn't you wake me up? Why didn't you wake me up? It's not my job to wake you up. It's not my job to make sure that you're out of the bed this morning, but it's your own responsibility, and it's my own responsibility to make sure that I'm ready to go when my time comes. There's nothing I can do for you. I can't wake you up. I'm just trying to sound the alarm here tonight. I'm just trying to bring the warning. 5 more minutes, preacher. Just give me 5 more minutes. Can I say, how long is it, sir, ma'am? How long is it going to be before you decide to fully sell out to God? Just give me 5 more minutes, preacher. Preacher, I want to. I want to be the best I can be. Preacher, I really got good intentions. Just give me 5 more minutes. Preacher, I'm going to live right. Preacher, I'm going to get my life right. I'm finally going to get this problem dealt with. I've been struggling a long time, but it's coming, preacher. I promise it's coming. Just give me 5 more minutes. How long, sir, before you finally get saved? How long is it going to be that you're going to keep running with this? Unsure of your salvation. How long, how many nights is it going to be that you're going to keep wrestling over and over until you finally just get her nailed down that you're saved by the grace of God? Preacher, just 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes. There's going to be many a good people that's going to wake up in hell. I'm afraid that being good ain't going to get you there, church. There's going to be many a church members that's going to appear before that judgment seat. And they're going to say, Lord, but this, but that. And the Lord's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Just 5 more minutes, preacher. Just give me 5 more minutes. Can I say this, church? There's been times I woke up in the morning, and it's been one of them mornings, didn't get much sleep, and you know you feel like a truck's just hit you. After about age 22, I don't feel good anymore when I wake up, but some mornings I feel better than others. My body gets to hurting and gets to aching already. But I wake up and I reach over there and hit that alarm. And you know I've tried to hit that snooze button, say, just give me 5 minutes. And I've accidentally missed the snooze button and I turn my alarm completely off. I hit that dismiss button over there. And I never heard my alarm go off again. I turned that alarm off. I said 5 more minutes. And it never went off again. This might be the last time tonight that somebody has in here, that a warning is coming your way. This could be the last time, church, that God is sending another warning your way by His mercy and by His grace. He's just extended mercy one more time here tonight for somebody in particular. Whatever your need may be, whether it's drawing closer or whether it's salvation, He is sounding that alarm yet again. It may never go off again. You may not make it home tonight. I wonder if we knew, church, that this was our last church service we'd ever be in. I wonder what we'd do here tonight. I wonder how we would respond. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I wonder here tonight, church, if this could be somebody's last opportunity. A time this alarm will sound for the last time. In year 2015 to 2016, the drug overdose death raised by 19%. Over 64,000 drug overdose deaths happen annually. 68 million pornography search requests are sent out daily. 90% of 8-year-olds to 16-year-olds admit to watching pornography. 47% of Christians say that pornography is a problem in their home. Every second, 28,258 users are watching pornography. 86.4% of people say they have drank alcohol in their life. 70.1% say they have drank alcohol in the past year. In 2015, 15.1 million adults 18 and over reported alcohol use disorder. 623,000 adolescents aged 12 to 17 reported alcohol use disorder. In 2012, 3.3 million alcohol-related deaths were recorded. 25% of all death totals are alcohol-related. Almost 40% of 15-year-olds say they have drank alcohol. 696,000 students aged 18 to 24 say they have been assaulted by another student. 100,000 students aged 18 to 24 say they have been alcohol-relatedly sexually assaulted and raped. 3,000 babies are aborted in America every single day. 1.1 million babies are aborted in America every single year. Approximately 230,548 people go to hell every day. 160 people go to hell in a minute. And every second, 2 to 3 people seem to be going to hell. While we have been in church here tonight, about 9,000 people have dropped off into hell. And can I ask you, church, where have we been? Church, this could be our wake-up call here tonight. God is sounding the alarm for somebody here tonight. And we hear that alarm. We hear the statistics. We say, boy, preacher, we're in a mess. Boy, preacher, we're in a mess. And God is sending a wake-up call. Church, how are you going to respond here tonight? Are you going to say, preacher, just give me 5 more minutes? As the preacher's coming, Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity by your mercy and grace. Just extending mercy one more time. Lord, help us tonight to be better Christians than we've ever been in our lives. To make up our minds, God, to press on for you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand together. I thought when that alarm was going off how irritating that sounded. And I thought, well, the way to get rid of that irritation is to respond to it and to do what it tells you to do. I got a question, and I'm going to be really brief because I'm going to go pray. Do we believe that Brother Cody came just because he got this message up himself? Or do we believe it really came from the Lord? I don't think there's any doubt it came from the Lord. Which means we need it as a church, which also means you need it as an individual. And that alarm's irritating, but we need it. The Lord's spoken to your heart. I'm just going to ask you to just find your way to this altar. And let's ask God to wake us up as individuals, wake us up as a church. And I'd love to see the Bible Belt awake again. You mind the Lord. I'm going to go pray.